What's up, folks? It is John here for Gym Supplement Science. Now, I could go on about gym for hours on end because I've literally taken these products myself for the better part of 9 years. But I don't have hours on end, so I'm going to condense it down to about a minute or so. Now, simply put, Gym has the most transparent company on the market when it comes to supplements, okay? What I mean by that is what you see on the label is exactly what's in your product. It's not always like that when it comes to supplements, okay? And often it's not, so just trust me on that. But why have I taken them for 9 years? Because they work, okay? They work. The pre-workout, the protein, the post-workout, the vitamins, they're all scientifically designed for a reason, okay? Check them out. You will not be sorry. JYMSUPPS.com. Use my name, John, at checkout to save yourself some money on it. And you can buy anything on the website, and that code will save you some cash, okay? So check it out. You'll not be sorry. Hit me up at ATLFalconFanCast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, let me know how you like it. Falcons fans, we're about to talk about this win today over the Browns. I'm with my boy Mike Cottrell and joined by Fleek, who was at the game today. And we're about to get into it just in a few minutes. What's going on, folks? It is John here with Out of Your Falcon Minds, coming live to you today for the first time. I think, Mike, we did it last year one time, but it was just to see how it was on YouTube. But you know,
I don't even remember doing that. I'm so excited to do it. I feel fancy. Hey, y'all, hold on for a minute. Not only are we going live for the first time, but we have a ticker, so that's two fancy things. And I got a new microphone, and we got my man Fleet, and we just won. If you ain't out of your Falcon mind for this one, you don't have a clue. I mean, we've gone Hollywood, Johnny Yates. I love it. Out of your Falcon mind.
That's right, man. Yeah. So we coming live to you here on the Variety Sports Network, Out of Your Falcon Mind. This is our recap show. We do it every week. This is the first time we've done it right after the game. So all of us, Fleek was at the game. So all of us, everything is real raw. I haven't had a whole lot of chance to look at. I saw a few comments after the game, but we're just going to get into it in a few minutes. Fleek, man, introduce yourself to the people, man.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Fleek at Ron Rico Season on Twitter. I'm from the New Millennials Falcons podcast with the ATB Network. Check us out over there. And yeah, man, the game was like crazy. The stadium was lit. Everything was like
perfect. You had a little incident going into the game, aren't you? What happened with that?
Oh yeah. So I find my parking area, whatever. I park. I get out of the car. I overhear somebody saying, "Man, did such and such go in the game already? I need a lighter." And so I'm like, I look over. It's a Browns fan, but I'm still like, "Oh man, he needs a lighter. I have a lighter." So I was like, "Yeah, I got a lighter if you need it." Cool. He's like, "Yeah. Appreciate you for the lighter, but we about to whoop that ass though." And I'm like, wow, man. Like that, huh? And so I just knew like we had to win because I couldn't go out like that. I couldn't go out bad that way. Nah, I couldn't.
I love it.
No, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and before we get started, guys, look, you can listen if you're not catching us live. Obviously, you can always listen to us on any podcast provider that you listen to, on YouTube at Out of Your Falcon Mind. You can follow us as the ticker says Out of Your Effing Mind on Twitter. You can email us anything, and we'd be happy to read it on the show. So Fleek, man, how was the crowd starting out, like the game? How was it? It looked like it was pretty lit from the TV. I just from what I could see.
Yeah, it was nice, man. Like, it was a pretty good crowd, and I will say, Cleveland Browns fans, the rumor is true. They travel very well. Like, okay. Even before we got into the game, there were Cleveland Brown jersey all over the streets of Atlanta. So they really travel well. I would say it's probably 60-40 Falcons way, but it was a lot of Browns fans in the building. Okay. At the beginning of the game, you know, it was nice. It was lit when the players came out. But as the stadium started filling up into like mid-second quarter, that's when it really packed out and the stadium got loud. And like I said, the Browns fans travel well. So even when Nick Chubb was running all over us for a minute there, The stadium was still out because everybody was chub. They say chubby or something like that. Something weird they say. But yeah, and there were Browns fans and it, like every seat in the row in front of us. So it was just like, man, it was really lit. But I would say in that downtime in the third quarter where each offense was like kind of playing bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very quiet in the stadium. You can kind of tell. Mm-hmm. Falcons and Browns fans were kind of in the same boat because we're like, we don't know what's up. We don't know what's going on. The Falcons offense been kind of hot starting out this season. I didn't expect them to start off so slow. Browns fans thought they were going to run all over us. You know what I'm saying? So that was a little downtown. But I would tell you that fourth quarter was insane. Mm-hmm. The back and forth, the running game taking over. I'm inserting my dominance. They're inserting their dominance. It's just crazy. And then at the end of the game, you know, with who slaps in the field goal, as the Browns were driving, the fans had complete confidence that they were going to get the field goal. The guy was even telling me, he was like, you know, we have a rookie kicker, banged it in from 60 to win the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, dang, man, that's kind of worrisome because you're driving the field or whatever. But Grady shows up with a sack at the best time he could have done that. And then D. Alford wins us the game and seals it in the end. And the crowd was crazy for that one. Everybody was on their feet at the end. It was really – I'll tell you what, that was the best first regular season game I could have attended because I got to see an ending like that. Mm-hmm. And we actually won. So it was so fun.
This seems to be like just a different energy in the building now a little bit. I mean, just from these previous years.
It is, man. And I will say, like, I know coming into the season, a lot of people knew what the Falcons are as far as the roster. And we didn't expect too much. But one thing I saw a lot of Falcons fans say is they want the Falcons to be competitive and feisty all season, fun to watch, and not, you know, boring, you know, like we were all of last season. And I'll say, you know, 4 weeks into the season, they've been a lot of fun to watch. I mean, we haven't been on the winning side of it, and there's been some dry spots. But overall, man, the Falcons have been, you know, not a surprise, but just a good feeling to watch again. I didn't feel like that last year. I didn't.
No, I agree. Yeah, and by the way, 100%. Yeah, boring was a great way to describe last season's offense. So, I mean, and by the way, if you guys are watching, if y'all want to comment, feel free to comment. They should show up on, or I can actually put it on the screen, but we'll definitely read them out if y'all have any comments about the game or thoughts or anything at all. So, man, just getting into – well, Mike, first of all, any just overall thoughts before we get into this?
I'm just excited, man. 2-0. This is what I wanted. Two straight victories for the momentum of it. And, man, the shit I'm going to talk all week, man, just because the momentum went two. We could have won the first two. I'm not even going to hop on that. Yeah. But just two now just feels really good, man. It feels really good.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Flea, they actually showed Chubb's entire, like, high school football team was there. I mean, like the current, the Cedartown High School, like their football team was there. His family was there. We knew Chubb was going to bring a lot of folks to the game. We just knew that just from him being around.
A lot of UGA jerseys.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. So that makes sense. But hey, we didn't even mention it, man. I woke up to a great win this morning, man. How about that?
Oh, man. Hey, I was in the middle of the first quarter, they played that highlight at the end of the game where the double doink,
doink.
The crowd was cheering as loud. You would have thought we scored a touchdown.
That's awesome.
How loud the crowd was, man.
That is awesome. Yeah, that was the Vikings. They tried to get Kirk Cousins, man. Oh my god. But anyway, the Saints didn't win, so it was all good.
I care about. The Saints didn't win.
Hey, that's a hell of a start to the day, man. Hell of a start to the day. Yeah. So, but yeah, man. So getting into the first quarter, man. Yeah, Chubb just kind of did what he wanted with his double digit gains. I think on the first four plays of the game, we pretty much weren't getting really any pressure on Jacoby. And then they went for it on a 4th-and-3, which I was kind of surprised. I thought they might just take the points there, but I guess they were feeling good about themselves. Went ahead, tried to get that 4th-and-3. And we made secondary did a great job. Staying on their guys, and Jacoby had to throw it up out of the end zone, get the ball back, and then CP with a big run, big gainer to Pitts, which was I think the only one he saw or got the rest of the game. That was it. And then CP ran for the first. Man, I thought was the crowd say it looked like a definite PI on Ward, man, and the
end zone.
Yeah.
The Browns fans in front of me said that's a PI. We saw that. We all did.
I mean, I know, I think it was Tiki or somebody on the broadcast. He was like, man, that's a good no call. I'm like, what? Like, he literally, like, that's the definition of it. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
How's that
that's
a good crazy. No call? Oh, before we even go any further, Mike, we joked about Liam getting the score right.
Right.
You know what he predicted, right? He predicted 24-20.
He said what?
He said 24-20.
I told you every time, dog. It's like he got inside information.
It makes no damn sense.
Yeah.
On the preview show for y'all listening, me and Mike and I, we always do the predictions, and my 12-year-old does it with us. Mm-hmm. And he beat us last year, and so far he's 2-1 this year. Well, mm-hmm. Now he's 3-1. Mike and I both predicted high-scoring games in the 30s, mm-hmm. and he said 24-20. He's like, not 24-20. I'm like, all right. We're like, yeah, okay, that's funny, dude. Yeah, you ain't really watching yeah. both these teams. You don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he's gonna score, man. It's all right. And then look at this shit, man. It's amazing.
Yeah,
that's awesome. He's better than me. I predicted a 30-point game too.
Oh yeah, I was 38-31. I think Mike was 35-31.
Man, yeah. Shit, I was expecting a lot of points.
Yeah, I didn't see the team stop any of the other teams rush. I mean,
they killed my fantasy because Cordell didn't do nothing, Kyle didn't do nothing, and Drake didn't do nothing. They killed my fantasy.
I don't even want to talk about fantasy team today, man. It's been a bad day for me fantasy wise. But anyway, man, we had the after that PI, well, should have been a PI. Marcus sailed one over Pitts that probably he could have just had his feet or just kept running for the first down, but didn't. And then third and long, had a great check down to Tyler, who had a great day himself. And then bad snap on first and goal, man. And Marcus had to run it out. And then CP did what he did, make a nice little run to the left side there, got in the end zone. Or, I'm sorry, he did not. He was Marcus. I'm sorry, CP got stuffed at second and goal. And then Marcus threw into coverage on third, which was just, I don't know what he was looking at there. But anyway, Koo hits up 3-0. Then the Browns, next possession, second down attempt is a hold. And Hawk put his head right on the ball, man, up in Njoku and forced that thing out. And Evans recovered. And that's, I mean, say what you will. I mean, Hawkins is. I mean, he's having a decent little season.
Hell yeah.
We talked about that in the episode. I was here before the season, regular season began, man. And I was watching them on the sideline before the game, kind of hyping each other up as a duo, Grant and Jalen. They were hyping each other up on the sideline. And I know those guys are playmakers. They can force turnovers, if anything.
Yeah. I mean, Richie had a tough-ish day. He got stiff arm one time, took a bad angle on that Chubb run.
But he made some plays too.
He did. For sure.
He for sure made some plays.
Yeah. I mean, I don't expect perfection out of that guy. I mean, but he's, he has a few tough ones on him. But and then we had one good positive with Mariota. He had a great scramble throw to Hesse on the next possession. And then CP ran it in for the touchdown. And
that was a great pass.
That was. I give him credit on that one. And we went up 10-0. And, I was still worried about, as a Falcons fan, you're never satisfied with any lead whatsoever. We know that. But, man, Chubb is just a damn unit, man. Like, it is impossible to take that dude down. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that Troy Anderson later in the game made an open field tackle on him and wrapped him up and took him down.
That says something, right?
Like, that's the only dude I saw really take him down, like, with the first
single-handedly.
Hit.
Like
it doesn't matter. He gets hit and he keeps going, man. Like he is this is crazy.
Troy different.
He's a truck.
Yeah,
Troy different. Hey, when Troy, like the more and more he plays, I just love seeing him on the field, no matter what happens, because a guy that raw and that talented and that athletic, the more and more he plays, the more and more he delves into the defense, he's gonna turn into a monster. Mm-hmm. I really believe that.
I do too. And I think a lot of what he's doing now is just off of instinct. He's just reacting to the ball and reacting to the play. And they said it last week, P said they need to try to get him on the field more. I'm not trying to rush him along, but I mean, just trying to get things that, get him in situations that's going to be good for him. Anyway, on that same drive with the Browns, man, they converted a 4th-and-1. I think they converted 2 4th-and-1s, didn't they, during the game?
Yeah.
I mean, just little sneaks with Jacoby. Yeah. I mean, that was almost impossible to stop that one. Yeah. Great pressure from Taquan, man, on second goal.
Taquan had a good ass game.
I was just about to say, I was watching him all game, and I just kept thinking, man, he is like such a great running mate for Grady.
Man,
and they were in the backfield a lot today. They really were.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first. I mean, other than May, I mean, he maybe end up being Grady's best running mate before it's all said and done. Because I mean, like he, yeah, he had a hell of a day. But he almost got the sack, forced the bad throw. Brissett ends up scoring anyway on third and goal with that scramble run. Guys ran into each other, couldn't tackle him, type of thing. So that was we could actually that entire drive we couldn't tackle anybody that entire drive.
Oh no, I'm gonna tell you what. Michael Walker had 11 tackles, but he also had a lot of missed opportunities, a lot of missed tackles this game.
Yeah, I think Kevin Knight from the Falcoholic had tweeted, like, just because he has a lot of tackles doesn't mean, like, he's a good tackle.
He had a good game.
It just means that.
That's true. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I love Michael Walker. I think, you know, I think, but, you know, again, another young player's got some room. Dude, we're starting 8 new guys this year on defense.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? 8 of 11.
And it's crazy. I was watching some. I can't remember what it was, but it was with some NFL coaches, and they said as a coach – oh, no. Matter of fact, it was Sean Payton on Colin Cowherd. I'm sorry to use a Sean Payton reference. But he was like one of the best things as a coach is to win a hard-fought game that you made as many mistakes in that you probably should have lost, but you won anyway. So you get that win in the W column, but you always have all your problems exposed as well. And you can go back, and you know what to fix now. And now you can get better from it, but you still got the win. That's such a meaty week that you can get.
So you're basically saying fix Mariota. That's what you're basically saying?
I didn't say it. You did. But I'm going to lie with you.
Yeah. Well, it also sounds like what happened with Georgia on Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
Man.
I didn't even see it.
I was so happy to see that.
They struggle hard with Missouri. And Fleek, if y'all don't know, Fleek and I both are Alabama fans. And my buddies were giving me hell, man, during that Arkansas game, giving me hell because we blew the lead and everything. Yeah. So I had fun. I had a little bit of fun with them last night. So I knew Georgia was gonna win the game anyway. Like I never felt for 1 second they weren't gonna win that game. Yeah, it's just the fact that they had so many problems. It was just like, all right, well.
Hey, I told them I don't want to hear nothing about that Texas game no more. I don't want to hear anything about it. By the way, real quick, do you think they're going to drop Georgia's rank?
I think they should.
I do, too. I think it should be 2 or 3.
Yeah. Maybe me too.
Treasonous. Man, come on. Y'all committing treason on this podcast.
No, I wouldn't be shocked to see Ohio State won. But
Ohio State has been dominant.
Yeah, they've been. I mean, if any team that's been just, you know, deserving, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, probably them. So next Falcons possession, man, 3 and out. A lot of pressure on Marcus. Didn't look good. Then Browns got it. They converted their second fourth down conversion with that Jacoby sneak. And then Malone had a big tackle for loss on Njoku on that kind of end around looking thing.
If y'all pay attention to that play, it was two dudes block him. He bust through two dudes to get to the third one, dog. It was amazing.
Yeah. I like Malone, man. I like him a lot.
Me too, man. That was huge.
And one thing, Mike and I, we talked about before in the pregame or the preview show is like they hadn't really used a lot of their receivers this year outside of Amari. Like they're like Peoples Jones hadn't been really used. David Bell hadn't really been used. And then next pass went to Peoples Jones, 42-yard pass. Which sucked. And then Chubb fumbled on the goal line, or right at the goal line, but he said his forward progress had been stopped, which it had. So, I mean, it was a good call. Great goal line defense there, though, man. We get the hold on that play, and then AK with the pressure on second and goal pretty much saved the potentially saved the TD because dude was wide open. I mean, like he didn't have anybody in front of him. All the corners had their backs turned. Safeties had their backs turned. Like he probably could have walked in. And then Brissett ended up overthrowing Cooper on third. They had to settle for a field goal 10-10. And then we went into – that's how we went into halftime. So, I mean, how were you feeling at halftime, man? How was the crowd feeling? Like,
it was like a reset. Everybody was like, because we had a great first quarter. We had a great second quarter. So, it was kind of like, all right, 0-0 again. Like, nothing even mattered at that point.
Right.
But I think, if I'm not mistaken, they had a pretty decent up on us in yardage gain that half. Because throughout the entire game, I was looking up at Jumbotron. We trailed them in yards. We probably still ended with a little less yards than them, maybe. If not, it was close because yeah, we had trailing them in yards for a while.
Yeah, we had 333. They had 403 total yards.
Yeah, so that was kind of the pace. We were kind of 50 plus yards behind them the entire game.
It was crazy in the third quarter there. Josh Kendall from The Athletic tweeted out this the stat. He said the Falcons' first two drives was 115 yards and 10 points. The next three drives were minus 11 yards and that's 0 crazy. Points. Yeah, and Cleveland.
And you
yeah,
can feel
yeah.
that. You can feel that in the stadium too. That's why it was and like the so,
second yeah. quarter, dog, we had the ball one time in the yeah. second quarter. Like, they had the ball the entire second quarter. We had the ball. I was scared of that. I'm like, man, if they start draining the time and we can't get on the field, it's going to be a long day.
Exactly. Yeah.
The so defense going to get tired. Yeah, yeah. those two backs, it's not what you want is your defense tired.
But, John, I got to ask you something. How did you feel to see Tyler come alive today?
Oh, I was loving it.
For the first time. You remember I said he just run right into the line for 2 years.
Hey.
He came alive today.
Hey, so, you know I was ready for that. He. Yeah,
I was thinking about you, man.
And per Kevin Keneally on Twitter. Thank you. Kevin Keneally on Twitter, Tyler Allgeier now has 139 rushing yards, averaging 5.3 yards per carry and two receptions, 25 yards over the season. So 5.3 yards a carry, not too shabby. I mean, like, he's got, you know, he's had some bigger runs and some of the ones have been smaller, but like Mike and I talked about in the last show, you know, I think he's still filling out, kind of like he's not as confident at picking out those holes, when to cut back, stuff like that. A lot of times he's just running into the line, you know, and so, I mean, hopefully that's, you know, that'll get better as time goes on.
I do believe that because he had a very good vision at BYU. That's something I liked about him. I think the more comfortable he gets, that'll come.
Yeah, exactly. I always tell people, go watch the game. Look at the film versus Virginia with when he was at BYU.
Because
I mean, he did everything in that game. He caught passes, ran over people. I mean, it was a fantastic game.
And he put that game away, too.
He did. And then starting the third quarter, man, we got the ball 3-and-out. What you don't want to do starting off the second half. But Marcus missed Pitts again, who was held on the play, though, to be fair. Again, no call, but it was kind of clear he was held. And then Tyler ran on second down, which didn't get much, and then he missed Drake with a low throw into the ground pretty much at his feet on third. So
hold on. I got to interject. Drake seems to be visibly – frustrated with Slim at this point. What's his name? I forget Marcus. The boy name. Plain White Toast is what I call him. Plain White Toast. But he is because I'm gonna tell you, he missed him a few times today, and it was either he was overthrowing or underthrowing, and he looked visibly like he wanted to say, "Man, get this motherfucker off the field." Like he looked, you could see that in his body language.
You know what, Mike? It's crazy because I don't go to many football games, so when I see things from my perspective at the game, I wonder how it looks on TV. Because after that play, Drake walked straight to the sideline, took his helmet off. He didn't slam it or anything, but he was just like, you could kind of tell by his body language that he was very upset.
Told you.
And I can't remember who it was. It might have been Damir Bird, but one of the receivers came over there and talked to him and was like, you know, patting him on the shoulder pad and stuff. I think he was really upset about that for real. And I think I caught that too, but I was wondering if anybody else got that.
He was visibly like he looked like he wanted to say, man, Ritter, he probably he gonna slide a note under the door. He ain't gonna sign it or nothing. He ain't gonna do it in cursive so you can't check us in. He gonna anonymous time for Ritter to slide it under management door.
Anonymous WR is just gonna be on the letter right there.
I'll sign it too.
Yeah you and a lot of people. So Browns get the ball back, and they go 3-and-out. Rush with Anthony Rush had a big stop on Hunt on third down on that one, third and short. And then we actually get the ball to Drake. He tries stiff arm dude and gets his face mask. So that kind of hurt that drive. Then Marcus got sacked by Jordan Elliott. We had a punt, and then the Browns get in pressure basically with down three starters. I mean, it was kind of depressing to see a little bit. I mean, like the offensive line overall did a pretty good job with obviously run blocking. They did a good job. Pass blocking was okay. I'd like to kind of see some of the metrics after this one, you know, a couple of days from now. But anyway, Browns get the ball 3-and-out. And again, man, AJ locking down Cooper pretty much all day. The man had one catch for 9 yards.
Man, I want to say this more than AJ. Our secondary played excellent today. It was some few times that Jacoby had time to throw and had no, he was just had nowhere to go. That happened several times. Our secondary won us this game. If y'all rewatch that game, our secondary had they shit on lockdown all game long for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Played excellent football. Even Casey Hayward, who was somebody who I questioned on our last episode of the podcast, and it felt like he was moving kind of slow, like looking kind of old there, but he had a good game today. So,
I was happy, man. I was happy with both those guys. And I don't know when we talked about Mike on the preview show, what we were worried about. I said, you know, Cooper's always a worry just because of what he mm-hmm. is, but I trusted AJ, man. I said, I trust my guy, you know, because he, that's just what he does. You know, he had a couple of bad, a little rough start to the season, but, you know, I didn't think he just all of a sudden fell off a cliff, you know, mm-hmm. didn't happen that way. But so Falcons get the ball back, first down, and it's the first down since the first freaking quarter at that point, which was like crazy. Amazing. And then Marcus throws a pick to Ward, who I immediately tweeted out, what a dumbass throw. And it was a little bit premature, but it was Drake probably could have fought for it a little bit, put himself, but I mean Ward was all over him in coverage. Like I don't know that I'm throwing that pass at that.
Yeah.
I mean
and the way
and,
I feel
and if you do oh I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead.
Not because I was just gonna say if you do, like, okay. And I'm gonna get into why I believe Arthur Smith drafted Drake London. And when I talked about how separation could be as little of a factor for him, it was because he's so big. He's almost 6'6". Mm-hmm. So if you're going to throw it to a guy who has a guy in his hip, you have to put it higher. I mean, it was accurate to his numbers. Yeah. But, I mean, Ward is, like, right there on the corner of his five.
Yep.
So if you're going to make that throw, you got to put it somewhere to where only Drake can get it. And so if you were going to make that pass, you got to have better placement. But I wouldn't have made the pass anyway.
But no, here's what I'm saying. Man, I get y'all. But the reason why I'm frustrated with it, it's not the individual play. It's like cumulative anger. When they said, because I was thinking seven turnovers from one person. Dog, if you was a lawyer and you lost seven cases in your first however many stopped being a lawyer, if you're a chiropractor and you break seven people's neck the first few times you do it, whatever you do, if you seven turnovers for your starting quarterback is ridiculous and it's cumulative, dog. Like, he don't even belong in the NFL, man. This dude, again, with the snaps. Come on, dog.
Oh, yeah. Like,
dog, and the thing with Bird, I will say this. The throw to Bird was Bird's fault. I thought Bird could have located that ball. Mm-hmm. But I will give him that. I think he could have located it. But Marcus Mariota is incompetent, dog. Like, seven turnovers. There's no excuse for that. It's nothing you could tell me. You got to go. And I'm going to tell you something. Part of me thinks at like the – and hold on because we're still getting there. But part of me thinks that we ran the ball at the end of the game because it was doing so well. And a part of me think that the head coach snapped. Like, motherfucker, you know what? Don't touch it again. Don't throw it again. Because to run that so many, like, don't throw it one more time. Just do what I say. Run the ball, you ignorant motherfucker. It looked like he snapped because he didn't even mix it up anymore. He was literally running every play. It looked like he snapped, and I loved every minute of it. Redder.
Yeah.
I agree, man. I tweeted out, keys to winning this game, only let Mariota hand the ball off. That's how you win the game.
Yep.
Because –
and that's why we won, literally.
And that's why we won.
Quite literally,
When Arthur Smith made that decision, like you said, I'm about to put this strong back, Caleb Huntley, back here to get this drive started off. And I got Algier and I got Huntley, two guys that run super hard, and we about to punch them in the face. And that's it. And even I was on the way back home listening to Arthur on the radio, and he did say he had a moment where he was like, screw it, I'm about to go win this game old-fashioned. He said that himself in the press conference.
He did.
So – for him to be able to believe in these backs like that and the offensive lines run blocking the way, and they showed out in the third or end of the third quarter going into the fourth.
Yep.
it was really good. But yeah, Mariota only trails Matt Ryan in turnovers this year.
Yeah,
in the NFL. Shout out to Trayshawn for letting me know that. But that's kind of
how ironic is that?
How ironic. But yeah, man, it's just sloppy football, mistake ridden football. And a reason I want to see Ridder is because how much worse can he be?
You know,
you know, it's like you try to hold your rookie back because you don't want him to make mistakes. You don't want your rookie to have 7 turnovers in 4 games, but now your veteran does. So
I mean, if I told you guys,
well, Marcus just said should be cut out and play on all news stations in Atlanta all week long in the morning and in the afternoon and right after the weather. Because I'm telling you, man, we need everybody to think like that. He can do no worse. Might as well.
I was going to get to this later, but I'll just say it now, and then we'll get back to the third quarter here. But so if I told y'all Marcus was 7 for 19, 139 yards and a pick, I mean, probably think we lost that game, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, because
kudos to Arthur Smith for going out there and winning this game in spite of his quarterback.
100%.
Yes.
100%. And then after that pick, you know, they got the ball back, and that's actually when Anderson made that open field tackle on Chubb on that next drive. And the D held again. They went up 13-10. The very next drive, we ran the ball, the whole next couple of drives, we ran the ball 14 straight times.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb freaking Huntley went the hell off. Look, dude, we were at, and Fleek, you were there. We were all at the preseason game against the Jaguars. We were down low, and I was like, man, this dude, like, I don't care he was going against 2s and 3s. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. The way he moved, the way he hit the hole, the way he just did not stop. He kept his legs churning. Like, he's not Chubb, but man, he looked like, I mean, like, that's how he looked like. I mean, mm-hmm. I was like, man, he's got to make the roster. I thought he's a lock. And so when he didn't make the 53, I was like, you kidding me? And then, like, Damski, our boy, he was the same way. He was like, man, he's got to make this. And so I was very excited that he got signed on the practice squad, because I just, you know, wanted him to be around this team. And then we hadn't seen him until this game. And, you know, of course, when CP was questionable, they activated him from the practice squad. And all of a sudden, he popped in there. And, dude, I mean, I think they asked Arthur in the post game, you know, did you bring him in for like a spark? And of course, Arthur is not going to say yes or no. Mm-hmm. He just said, you know, I believe in all my guys, and they, you know, I believe. And he said it was a credit Mike Petrie, the running backs coach, because he had told him, like, hey man, this guy, he needs carries, like he deserves it. He needs to get a few touches this game, and he should have earned himself some touches in the following games as well. But man, he just came in and went straight down the field, and I mean, he scored on I think he had 8 carries for 54 yards on that drive.
So good. He made Cordell check back in. And I think he ran a few more. He was like, oh, I'm good. He played like 2 more plays. He was doing that well.
And man, you could tell that the crowd was really enjoying the dominance of the drive. Like, it was 6, 7, 8 yards a pop. It was just like, what is happening? Who is this? I mean, I know Caleb Huntley, but a lot of people there didn't really know who Caleb Huntley really was. So everybody's like, oh man, like, who is this guy? Like, he was so explosive. He hit the hole and he's hitting it hard. So it was really cool to see Arthur Smith, you know, play the Browns game essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Put a bruiser back there, beat you down.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and so when he scored, we went up 17-13. And then unfortunately, next drive by the Browns, the combination of Hunt and Chubb just ate us up the entire drive.
Mm-hmm.
And they went down and Chubb ended up scoring on a 27-yard run. That was the one that Richie kind of took the bad angle at. I don't know, honestly, that he would have opened, like, stopped him anyway. And if he took it, I mean, he might have been able to push him out of bounds, but I don't know if he's taking him down. When he's got that, like, steam going, I don't know that anybody's just going to stop him one-on-one. Then we get the ball back. Avery Williams showed up, big 20-yard run out of nowhere.
Fleet, man, I heard y'all, like, y'all sounded like y'all was going crazy when they was running this ball like this.
I'm telling you, like, it was insane. And that Avery Williams run was so funny because the Browns fans in front of me were like, who is 35? Who even is this guy? It was so funny. I was like, you can't even stop the 4th-string running back. It was so funny. But, yeah, when Avery toted that rock, 21, we were going crazy. Huntley back in the game. Algier.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna tell you what was crazy. That Algier run where he drugged Delpit like 17
yards. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was the very next run.
I was standing up screaming, top of my lungs. Everybody just loved it. It was so fun.
Oh yeah, I got up and yelled, man. My dog left the room. My son was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I mean, my wife was already gone, so she knew. They already kind of know during those games. Like it's going to be some just like, off the cuff type yelling and screaming going on. But I was so happy for him, man, because he broke off that huge run, and there was actually a holding call. I was scared to death. I thought it was on us at first. I was like, "Oh God, please don't tell me that's going to be called back." And then it was on the defense, so it was all good. It happened. And then Marcus, man, the freaking snap again takes his eye off the ball. Can't handle a snap. Thank God he got it back and able to throw it away. I mean, I guess like backhanded compliment, like good job on that.
Just going to say, like, I forget what the announcer said, but it was something like that. Like, I think he praised him. And I'm like, no, you can't praise him here. It was his fuck up. He didn't make it as bad as it could have been. But it was still a blunder, dog. So, you don't get no props for that.
That's why I didn't get. So we were running the ball, and I tweeted this out too. We were running the ball like they could not stop us between the different guys we were bringing in. They could not stop us. So why we tried to throw the ball two times with inside the 10 made like zero sense to me whatsoever. And so we tried throwing it again, and after that play, and obviously he doesn't get it, and so we had to settle for another field goal. Coup hits 20-20. And then the Browns get it back. We make a big stop. We force them to punt with 3 minutes and 44 seconds left to go in the game. Very next possession, Falcons. Mariota has to scramble again. Sees Oz just chilling in the middle of the field, nobody within 20 yards of him. And he floats one to him. Thank God he hit that one. And so we get that. Then CP jumped back in at that point in the game. Third and three. We run outside with Tyler. Didn't make it. I was hoping for a little bit more of an aggressive call there, because if we get that first down, we all but lice the game. I mean, like we could have ran that clock way down, you know, and not have to put it on our defense. And I thought, you know, like granted our defense is playing better this year, but I never want to just rely on them to close every game for us. Like I'm cool with like if you like I totally get like you want to keep the clock running too, so you want to run the ball. I just that's kind of one of those situations. Like, man, I could have, you know, been a little bit like if you've got one play call in your book there that's a little bit like that you're just saving for one moment, like pull that out right there.
Yeah.
We need some creativity right there to get those 3 yards.
And throughout the game, man, I know the defense, you know, gave us some big plays today, but like people gotta understand, man, the offense didn't help the defense out at all in the middle of this game. They left the defense out high and dry, especially against Chubb and Hunt. Yeah. I mean, when you're consistently three and out, and they're just running. Like, I am honestly surprised that the defense was able to close this game out like they did at the end, because I felt like me, myself in that stadium, felt like if I was on that field, I would have been so gassed as a defense. I would have been so gassed by then, but
I hate to bring this up.
To tell us, but yeah.
But it's a great point, Fleek. I hate to bring this up, but that's what happened in the Super Bowl. That and people don't talk about that, but our players were so fast getting to the ball that it was working first half. Then they got gassed out because the offense started fucking up. So they was on the field too much, and they got gassed out. And then once they was tied, their whole gift was speed. So once they was tied, it was Tom Brady started tearing it loose. But I hate to bring that up, you know.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm glad you said that too, Mike. That their whole gift was speed. They were sideline to sideline. Yeah. And we have a lot of speed on this defense too, but I think we are a little bit more aggressive now. Like, I feel like we got some stronger guys up front.
Fleek, I got a question for you and you too, John. Okay. I was thinking about this while I was watching the game. I thought about that team, Fleek, and I said that team was fast. I remember that team. That team was fast. When you giving Bill Belichick problems, you fast, you right? Yeah. But I thought, I said, damn, would I say this team was just as fast, slower, or faster? And I said, I know it don't look like it for some reason, but this team might be faster. It just might not look like they flying around, but the team might be faster. I just wanted to know what y'all think. Like, I'm saying on defense. Is the defense faster? Are they the same or are they slower? They look slower, but the way they get up to tackle the running backs, the way they get to the – I mean, they on every play. So that's why I say they might be faster.
They do swarm the ball for
what
sure.
What y'all think? Yeah. Justice, I don't know.
The 2016 team was very fast. You had, like, rookie Deion Jones. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He was running sideline to sideline crazy. You had Vic Beasley rushing off the edge, whatever that was, or whatever. You know, whatever happened. Ugh. But you –
there we
had
go.
Robert Alford on the outside as your corner, yep. and he was an athlete. He was always really fast. Yeah, mm-hmm. fast safety. I will say this. I think the speed we play with right now could probably be attributed to the safeties, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To Grant and Hawkins. And I think when Troy Anderson's in the game, you know he has the speed. Rashawn Evans, he's not really a speedster, but he brings the punch, though.
Yeah, right? Yep.
He fills gaps. So I really appreciate him in the middle. But that's a good question. I feel like we may not be faster, but I see why you would say that though, because we're always swarming the ball.
I
think it's that aggressiveness. That's what it is. It's aggressiveness.
It'll be aggressiveness, how y'all say it.
Yeah. This defense has a high motor. I will say that. This defense has a high motor. They don't give up on plays.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you got an 8-year vet like Grady coming through on that last drive, we got one sack in the game, and that was the biggest sack of the game. But you got an 8-year vet like him, though. It does not give up, and it's coming through the line like that at the end of the game.
Yeah,
I mean, you're forced to, like, I mean, if you're a young guy, like, you got no excuses, man. Like, you're gonna have to get in shape because, he's gonna hold you accountable. That's why it's so important, man, that we resigned him. Like, it just he means so much to the team, but, like, man, the defense, the young guys, like, it's like his presence there. I don't think you can even quantify what that's worth. I mean,
I'm gonna tell you, he constantly comes through when we need a big play. I mean, he constantly, I don't know how he can raise his game for the moment. He does it a lot, like just that, like Matt Ryan used to do. He can raise his game. He's done it several times when we needed him. He made a play single-handedly.
So on that drive too, that we were stopped there with Tyler on that third down, Koo comes in, hits it 23-20. And we say it, we kind of just skip over it like it's an automatic thing, but I'm gonna go ahead and say my underrated is freaking Younghoe Koo, because dude comes through every time, and everybody, and it's just every like a, it's time. Like a nice, like an afterthought. Like, I know he missed the one a few weeks ago, but it's just like have a kicker like that, man. Like, I know we were spoiled for a while with Matt Bryant, you know, Matt. But I mean, like, dude, this guy, he was responsible for what, half of our points today?
He is like getting to as close as automatic as it gets, man. Like, I know he missed one, and I know he had one blocked earlier in the season, but like, that's rare. The miss is like so rare with Younghoe Koo, man. Like, I'm glad you said that, because like you said, we kind of like almost take it for granted in a way, because it's so automatic. And man, like, I mean, and even away teams know. When I talked to that Saints fan at the Walgreens that day, he thought we would have hit that field goal at the end if he could have got it off. You know, every time we got past the 40 today, the Browns fans kind of knew it was automatic. So it's not just us that believe that. He's one of the best kickers in the NFL. Like, and we have to take him, like, we have to really appreciate him.
Hey, dog, when he kicked that, when he didn't get it off, it got blocked. But I had no doubt in my mind he was going to make it. And when he's like Steph Curry, when you pull enough from half court, and I have no doubt that you're going to make the shot, that's really saying something. Steph Curry sometimes shoot and turn around before even watching it go in. That's how I feel with Koo. I could turn around. I could go to the bathroom. When he lined up, I said, man, let me go get a snack.
Yep.
It's three. I love it.
Yeah, nailed it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and that final drive, man, my stomach was in knots because I was just like, oh, shit, man, we left too much time. Here we go, you know. And then, like I said, Grady came through with that huge sack, and then D closed it out. But I'm also happy for D, man. D Alford with the pick. I mean,
huge
just
for D.
Yeah, man. Then he pulls off the dirty bird in the end zone, which
– Yeah, I mean, hey, that –
Yeah, man. That
I
was
seen
so
the dirty bird,
man. Yeah. Man, it's so good because, like, you know, here's a guy that coming from the CFL, rookie of the year, you know, had a great camp, great preseason. He gave up two catches earlier in the day. And, you know, it's kind of like, dang, but I tweeted out immediately. He made up for all of that to end the game and hit that dirty bird in the end zone with everybody, man. It was so cool.
It was so cool. 2 weeks in a row, man, our defense closes it out for us with picks. And I mean, that's something. Yeah. Look, yeah, I mean, and that's something we could not say last year.
We all just spoke up. As soon as John said that, we all jumped up to say something. That's how exciting it is. So that's because that was my point. Is like, dog, just to be able to say that is like so exciting. Just our defense, yeah, is. But it's sad to say that we're winning games in spite of our quarterback. So, yes. So that's new too. But just to rumble, man, our whole thing for years and years and years was we don't rumble to the finish. These boys are rumbling to, and even in the games we lost, did they not rumble to the finish? We just have a retarded person at quarterback, okay? That's all it is. If we didn't have, if we even had a slow person at quarterback, we will be winning. But this dude is an amazing, I'm telling you, man, it's just him. But that defense, man, I'm so, the secondary, again, they play a Jacoby had so much time a few times, nobody open. He scrambles a few times, nobody open. It's nothing he can do.
Yeah, and I will say Jacoby, I mean, he missed his share of passes today too that he had open. Yeah. That I mean, and he's been playing really well this year. Yep. I mean, folks didn't, if that, they weren't aware of it coming in the game, he's played well. He had high completion percentage, make good decisions. But today he was just off. He wasn't, like, when he had some of the open receivers, he was missing them a lot of times. And a lot of times he was scrambling too. But, I mean, you know, our defense, kind of like last week, I mean, we would give up chunks of yards at a time, but then we would make the stops when we needed them. You know, it's very similar to last week. And, I mean, that's, you know, that kind of bend and not break type thing. I mean, I think that's going to get better as these guys get more time this year. And obviously when we add guys next year, you know, who knows who we're going to add with, you know, 100 and whatever, 20 million we got, you know, to bring in there. But, you know, just looking at the stats overall in the game, like we mentioned earlier, I mean, they had 303-333 third down efficiency. They were only 5 for 14, man. Like that was a crux of our existence for so long. We could not get teams off the field on third down.
Bro, the smile on Fleet face, the satisfaction was like he just saw his son like slammed up for the first time or something when you just said that.
It's so important. That's how you win games. You on defense, you get off the field on third downs, and on offense, you extend drives on third downs. Mm-hmm. And 5 for 14, I didn't even realize that, but I know we were winning those downs. Yeah. Like I could tell, but man, to hear that, that's so promising because I think you said we're starting 8 new guys on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And we got young pieces everywhere on offense and defense. And it's just so fun because you mentioned the $120-odd million next year. This is what the rebuilding year is about. Building the foundation, and then you go get those key pieces and you add them and gel that into the experience. And I think, I mean, according to the season, I think it's a good start.
Oh,
people say we're
man.
Going 2-15. CBS.
That's all you put there.
Yep.
So I
will not forget that.
Yeah, so, me neither. So we already feel that.
So I guess that's done. So we better haul. We settle in for the next. Was
next
it 13 weeks? Is going to be tough, guys. And then rushing, I think Mike, our in or out segment on the last show was in or out. Both teams would go for 150 plus.
Yeah,
we were both in on that. That definitely happened. The Browns went for 177. We went for 202.
I did not realize that.
200 yards again for the Falcons rushing. Sorry. Hey, y'all, I was turned at the game. That's why my voice is going.
Oh, it's all good, man. That's very much allowed. Yeah. And
but we needed y'all. I think that we said that on the previous show that we needed y'all to go crazy, and y'all did.
It was, man. It was very similar. It was 35 rushes for each team.
Mm-hmm.
And 5.1 average for the Browns, 5.8 average for the Falcons. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, dude, I mean, we almost caught it on the previous show. We said it's going to be back and forth with this run game. And it, I mean, that's what it ended up. I think we figured that Marcus was going to throw more than he did and be more successful than he was. But
so I got to ask you something. Here we are. Is Dean Pease out of your doghouse or you still?
Yeah, he's getting
there.
They were still now. I will say though, they were still that 2-4-5 look that still was there today. He brought that out again. So, but it was mixed in, I think, enough where it was like we didn't start the game off like that at least. So, I mean, like it wasn't like immediate, but I mean, it was there. And Tory McElhinney tweeted as well. She said, since I'm seeing people not believe in me when I'm talking about how productive the Falcons red zone defense has been, here are the numbers. The Browns 33% in the red zone, Seahawks 40% in the red zone. Through the last two games, opponents are 3-for-8 first to Falcons defense in the red zone. Meanwhile, the Falcons were 50% in the red zone versus the Browns and 75% in the red zone versus the Seahawks. So that's a 5-for-8 clip for Atlanta in the red zone through two games.
I love it.
I mean, that's huge improvements, man. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, like massive improvements from last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, and just looking more at, like I said, you want to look more at some of the stats. I mean, Jacoby didn't have a huge day like we already talked about, 21-for-35. 234 yards, one interception, of course, at the end of the game. Chubb, 19 attempts for 118 yards, continuing his stupid average of like 6.2 yards, something like that, a carry. Hunt was just behind him at 4.9. Reception-wise, we already talked about Amari. He only got one reception. David Njoku and Donovan Peoples-Jones both had 5 receptions each. David Bell had a couple of receptions, so – I mean, guys, we did what we had to do. Like I said, stopped him when we had to stop him. So, I mean, it was a plus. I mean, we've already talked about what we did good on offense, obviously rushing the ball. Now, what we didn't do good, obviously, was throwing, clearly. Pitts had the one reception at the very second play of the game for 25 yards. Mm-hmm. That was that. Alamide had the big catch in the fourth quarter. He had our leading receiver had 2 receptions for 55 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
that's bad. And but Drake, I do want to say this. He is Mr. Reliable to me, man. The boy don't drop the ball. You know what I'm saying? We need to start giving him props, man.
Zacchaeus will not drop that ball.
And he come through in clutch moments several times.
Mm-hmm. You are right about that.
100%. Yep. And
fun fact too. You know, the Bucks game comes on here in a minute. Actually, I just got a notification that said Julio is playing and Chris Godwin is playing. So
I was just about to – I was waiting on it, Fleek. I was about to ask you about Julio. He killing my fantasy, dog. I need you to call him or something. Call him or something.
Hey, I talked to him. He playing tonight.
Okay.
But I need him to lose because if they lose, the Bucks slip to 2-2.
Yep.
And next week's game would be for first place in the NFC South most likely. So.
Gotcha.
And now, that would be amazing.
Now, I think it was this crazy dude on a show that said that we would be NFC South champs. Some dude on some show said we would be NFC. I think he was out of his Falcon mind. I don't know his name, but I remember saying
that guy.
I'm telling you, man, we going to get there.
Long road. I remember that guy.
Hey, man, if it happens, trust me, I'm finding it. I'm putting it. I'm pinning it. Like, that's going to be our new pin tweet whenever that happens. Yeah. And by the way, the Cardinals are beating the Panthers 20-10 right now in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes left. Okay. So, also a plus.
New Orleans 1-3. Panthers potentially 1-3. Falcons 2-2.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. So, biggest moments of the games really for us, guys. I mean, anything that was just like that was like turning point or that was like it for you guys as far as like momentum or anything like that?
I'm gonna be honest. For me, it was when Marcus, when he almost fumbled a snap and he threw it away. I felt like, and I could be wrong, I'm just saying this, I felt like my feeling I've been feeling in my heart and my chest toward him, the staff felt at that moment. Like, I feel like the staff, because we saw a direct change after that. It like, I guess they agreed he was incompetent, and the whole plan was to just get the ball out this man's hand. Just don't let him touch the ball. Just get the ball out of his hand. And I would not be surprised if Desmond Ridder start, because that's what it looked like. I mean, I could be wrong, because it was working when we was running. It was very efficient. It could have just been it was working, so that's what we did. But that was the play where I felt good, because I felt like he won't have a chance to lose us the game, and the coach agrees with me. So that was the play for me.
Yeah, and a different set of words, that's the exact same time of the game that was the game changer to me. When they decided to play smash mouth football, that's when the game changed. I don't know if they had a kept trying to let Marcus cook. I don't think we win this game, probably.
He is not a chef. He don't got no arms. He shouldn't be in the kitchen.
He don't got the degree for it.
Yeah.
Never finished. Never finished, yeah.
Yeah, never finished that. So, yeah, man, like when Huntley came in the game, that was the turning point for me. And just to end it off on the quarterback situation, I agree with Mike, man. Like, at some point, the staff just got to look at Marcus and just say, like, all right, you know, we signed you to a 2-year deal, and you're a placeholder regardless, no matter what. Yeah. But, like, I mean, you're not being a great placeholder right now, you know. Yeah. And I'm very interested, because if we somehow win two of our next four games or so and can be in the thick of the playoff race, and Marcus is, and we're still winning in spite of Marcus, what do we do? Do we put Ritter in there now? But it's still, I don't know, because, you know, it's a conundrum.
We talk about it about every week, dude. It's like, what do we talked about last on the previous show, man. Like, if we're by chance 5-3, 6-2, even 4-4, even like at 8, like, yeah. Like, I mean, you're still in it at that point, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, do you make a change if the change hasn't already been made by then, or do you, you know, like you said, I mean, like, you know, as fans, obviously, we're looking at it differently than the coach is going to look at it. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. It's like, you look at what Marcus does, and like, I'm thinking now, Kenny Pickett came in today and threw 3 picks.
Yeah.
First pass was a pick. So, you know for a fact, Fleek and Mike, that if that happened, like, oh my God, like, he's going to be just destroyed by the fan base. Like, oh, well, he ain't the guy, get him out, you know. So,
and you know what's so messed up about it? It's and I had that thought too when I was at the game, because I saw the tweet that Kenny Pickett's first NFL pass was an interception. And I couldn't help but think Matt Ryan's first NFL pass was a touchdown. If Desmond Ridder's first NFL pass is an interception, yeah. Fans are going to immediately think, like, oh, shit. Like, exactly. I'm sorry, but, yeah, oh, man, like.
No, nah, shit, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, all right.
Shit, you know us, man.
Well, that's not your fault, man.
Yeah, no, that's a fact.
Just anything goes here.
Yeah.
But no. I want
to point this out right quick. How many design QB runs have you seen in the last 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. The use of the read option has gone down since Mariota almost fumbled the game away.
Yeah.
And I noticed that today. I think I seen one called read option that Mariota got a first down on. I think he gained like 6 yards, but they've cut his design runs like at least in half since, you know, he almost fumbled away that, or he did fumble away that Saints game in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and who knew like that, like basically just what y'all said, but like who knew him throwing that pick to Ward would literally basically win us the game.
Yeah,
That pick made Arthur go, well, you're done, buddy. Like, you're not throwing it anymore, dude. Like, we are running the ball. And like, if he doesn't throw that pick, maybe you're right, Fleek. Maybe we keep that play call and may not change. You know, we keep kind of mixing it up. But at that point, I think Arthur was like, man, screw it. We're just gonna run down their throats. If they can't stop it, then I mean, we're gonna keep doing it. You know, like that's what was so confusing about that in the red zone, all of a sudden throwing it twice. Like, why?
Getting pretty, man. I don't understand it.
No, that's like Mike always says, like, you think that I think and he thinks I'm thinking, like, no, just run it. Just run it twice. Just run it twice, see what happens. If you gotta throw on third, throw on third. But like, don't all of a sudden stop, because it's been working. Like, there was no reason to stop. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like I said, that pick probably won us the game, which is just really weird to say. But you know, it's that's life with Mariota, I guess. But I mean, it's, and you see, like, there's I guess not really a split, because, you know, Mike and I did a poll a few weeks ago. Literally, like, 78% was like, start Ritter now. You know, but the folks that are defending him, man, like, I don't quite understand, like, what you're watching. Like, they're like, you know, trying to, like, it's the team has to share the blame. It's on the receivers to. It's not on the receivers for the overthrows. It's not on the receivers for the underthrows. I mean, like, it's not the decision made. It's not being able to handle a snap. Like, all I want you to do as a veteran quarterback is not lose me a game. We say it every week. Don't lose me a game. The defense bailed your ass out tonight, man. Because what kind of conversation are we having if we lose that game because dude fumbled and we had to settle for a field goal again?
Yeah.
And we lose the game. Man. Like, oh my God. Like, I mean, Arthur's still having a press conference if that happened.
Man, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know how I'm talking about the coach himself, Arthur Smith. I don't know how you can justify not starting Desmond Ridder. I don't know what you would see, because you yourself gave up on your own quarterback in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying whatever, but Matt Ryan, you would never give up on in the fourth quarter. You say, man, go get it. Go do it. You would put it on them. You wouldn't take it off them. The fact that you had no faith in your own quarterback to do anything. Like, I think you have to replace him at this point. You proved it yourself. You didn't have faith in him to go win us, to make one throw. Yeah. So if you don't have faith in your starting quarterback to make one throw, you have to play the backup. Unless you see him in practice and he's so terrible that it's like, y'all don't see what I see. He is not ready.
Yeah. Right. Right. And then that's the only thing that's what we don't know, right? Is how what's going on. And but also he's not getting the reps with the ones either. Like, he's gonna get those secondary reps as well. So
and then what did they say? They said Ritter's floor is mistakes and inaccuracy. And I'm living that experience to the fullest right now. So
man, I agree with
right
you.
Now.
If that's the floor for Ritter.
And I think, like Trayshawn said when he was on the show a week or two ago, like, it's interesting that, you know, Arthur got brought back the guy that he benched. So, like, he's already benched him once. You can do it again, bro. Like, don't feel like, I mean.
You can do it again, bro.
You can do it.
We're going to put that on a note. You can do it again, bro. And slide it under his door. You can do it again, bro.
I mean, don't feel like you have to, you know, write him out. I mean, you know, unless they just – like, you know, we talked about it with Savion when he was on the show, you know, about what would be a good week to bring him in. And it's always been like that Cincinnati week in Cincinnati. He's home, back home, you know, in front of fans, his own, probably a lot of his own fans, or the very next week here against the Panthers, you know, which would be week 8. And all that makes sense, you know, as far as like easing him in. But I just don't, like you said, man, we're winning in spite of the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so really what, how much worse? I mean, like, unless he comes in and just throwing like picks left and right, which that wasn't his MO in college. Like, he's a good decision maker. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like Mike said 100 times, a poised guy. Mm-hmm. Like, so, I mean, I don't think his heart rate gets that fast, man.
Because he has that trait. He has that thing that Dak Prescott has. He has that thing that Russell Wilson has had for a long time, where it's like he never gets too high. He never gets too low. So no moment is too big for him.
Yeah.
And I'd be ready. I wonder if we would have won that Saints game if Desmond Ridder had been in that game in that second half.
Yes.
Because he just has that trait. Like, I just feel like he'll make something happen.
Man, you saw into the Detroit
game,
man.
Get in the game and throw a pick, man, drop a snap. He could overthrow people and have a seizure on the field, and it would be equal to what we experienced now. It would be equal. It would be the same. So, like, it wouldn't even be like, oh, damn, he really shit the bed. It would be like, well, that's about par for the Falcons quarterback. So, and I, like we say, like we all agree, I think the main thing I see with Marcus that he lacks is poise. You look panicked all the time, like a bumbling fool.
I just want to
see Desmond Ridder because I feel like he is poised.
Yeah. And that's why I don't know what folks were really expecting. That's what, I mean, you've seen him enough throughout his career. That's just what he is, man. Like, that's just, he's a 1-2 read, get the hell out of the pocket type of guy. And like, a lot of times he runs too quickly out of the pocket. Sometimes he stays too long. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that. It seems like that's just, I mean, either he's that internal clock is too quick or it's not quick enough, you know, and it's just, unless he has a clean pocket, he's like automatically just kind of nervous, you know, and that's just not what you want.
Rescue dog, I think, but that's the perfect name for him. The rescue to someone. Oh, he just go out, dart away for any noise, or that's him. He a rescue dog, y'all. He just take off like.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you something. I thought the throw he made to Parker Hesse was a dope throw, and I thought the one that he made to Bird was a good throw. I think Bird could have thrown it. So I was impressed by those throws, but just overall, dude, like,
and I want to say this too, like, I mean to cut you off, Mike.
Nah, but,
like the folks online saying, like, man, y'all just want to see Mariota fail like this. That's not it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I want Mariota, like I said at the beginning of the season, man, I hope he is freaking killing it. I hope that he's throwing, you know, 70% completion percentages and running and like just, you know, all this, but it, like, that's not who he has been. Mm-hmm. So for us to expect him to be that is not realistic. Yeah. So, but I want, of course I want him to do well because I want our team to win. But of course, that's the bottom line,
right,
man.
That right there is why I never liked when people said that. Because at the end of the day, we talk about the future. We talk about draft mm-hmm. picks. We talk about this, that, and third. But I can tell you right now, every single person in this fan base would throw all of that out the window. They would throw Ritter out the window for the Falcons to go 12-5.
100%.
Yeah,
like
yep.
we want Mariota to play elite, but he just hasn't.
Dude, if he doesn't bumble the first game, and we're and maybe, dude, we okay, we could be 4-0, but we could, legit could be 3-1.
Yes,
like, easy.
Yes, should be.
So right. So I mean, you know, if he's playing differently. And better. I mean, like, dude, I don't think any of us be like, bring Ritter in. I mean, because yeah. why would we? Like, there's no, yeah. like, and that's what we talked about before the season. I mean, like, yeah, you want to get a look at him, of course, but the Arthur Smith and the coaching staff's job is to win and make it to the playoffs. Like, that's their job. So if they don't get a look at Ritter this year because Marcus is doing so well, so be it if they're winning games.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But as you know, I just think Marcus probably shortened his time today a little bit, even more than it was.
No doubt. And I'll say this. It's not about what we want. Like, why would we want him to fail? But even if we did, it's not about what we want. It's about reality. Like, it don't matter what I want. What's on that field, we all see the same thing. So if yeah. I want to, if I'm hating or not, you see what I see. So, I mean, I could, man, want my dog to play PlayStation. I could want a lot of things, but that don't mean it. And I want this dude to be a better quarterback. But like I said, I thought he would improve gradually over time. Just, I think you would gradually calm down, just gradually over from game to game as you learn the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
He just looked like a pan, like a rescue dog. Like someone, he just came home around a new owner and he don't trust nothing. Like I don't trust him.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And we got a comment from Big Pop 17. What's up, man? Thanks for viewing us, man. Thanks for checking in. The way Anderson closed in on Chubb was insane.
Yep.
Hey, hold on. Hold on for a minute. I got to say this. That was the coolest shit I've ever seen. I don't know how this is happening, but it just popped up on the screen.
1 second. Here's another one from Big Pop. Oh. And we only had one penalty the whole game. And we didn't talk about that. One penalty for 15 yards, awesome. Guys.
Yeah. That's awesome because we played mistake riddled football for the first, you know, 2.5 games of the season. To be able to cut that out, and I didn't even realize we only had one penalty. Like mm-hmm. now that I'm thinking back on it, yeah, that's probably why I wasn't as mad throughout the game because we weren't weren't shooting ourselves in the foot too often.
Right.
So that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's crazy. I mean I think they had I had it for a second, but they had like seven penalties, something like that. They had a lot more than we did. And they could have had more because it was like they missed about three or four. They legit missed about three or four calls. So, yeah, man, Big Pop, we appreciate you checking in, man. Defensively going into next week, man, we'll talk about on the preview show, but it looks like Brady should probably have all his weapons next week. So, assuming they stay healthy this week, we never know. I mean, honestly, but I mean, you know, Goodwin's coming off an ACL, right? And and then of course, Julio
had a hamstring issue, I believe. But I'm also interested too. I think when you're on IR, you're mandatory. You have to miss 4 games, I think, right?
Right. Right.
So I'm interested to see if Isaiah Oliver is coming back next week.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm interested to see that, and even if Jalen Mayfield is coming off of IR next week, he's not starting. He better not ever. With this offensive line playing like this, and it's not even just amazing, but compared to last season with Jalen Mayfield at left guard, it's been night and day, in my opinion. Yeah. It's just been so much better. And, like, I'm not saying Elijah Wilkinson or Gossett last week are just, like, top guards in the league. Mm-hmm. But when you go from, like, the worst guard in the league to, like, average, it makes the world of a difference. Crazy.
Yeah, there's no reason he should see the field unless like Elijah gets hit by a car or something. Like
he shouldn't see the stadium.
For real. For real.
No, there's not. There's no, this makes no sense.
For real.
You know,
work from home.
No, nah, man. Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I mean, so the defense.
But I do want to say this. I called this on the pregame show once again. Very, very proud of my offensive line, man. Y'all some dog. Y'all had a dog fight because even their backups were pretty damn good. Those backups were playing their ass off, and they was rumbling. But my offensive line got dirty. As the game go on, the defense is starting to be tired, but you supposed to be tired too. and y'all revved it up when you were supposed to be revving it down, and I love y'all for it. Dog fight that we won.
I think what helped out that D-line too for the Browns was their secondary and their back end was playing a lot better. And they have a good back end anyway.
Yes.
But like they were playing well enough, it was allowing those guys to get upfield a little bit.
They was balling. I will give them credit.
Yeah. So I mean, it's gonna stop the run. I mean, which was we kind of figured that we hoped that was gonna be the case going in. When you're down 75% of your starting defensive linemen, you hope you can run the ball with some success, especially once you know the way we've been doing it. And I mean, I heard like when Arthur came over here, man, all the haters was like, man, Derrick Henry, he's the one that made Arthur. I don't know, man. I don't know. Not looking that way.
I noticed that Arthur just needs certain traits in his back.
All angry downhill men.
That's exactly what it is. Explosive, angry downhill runners. Your name don't have to be Derrick Henry. Mm. You can just be that prototype, and Arthur Smith can work with you. I mean, we had 200 yards rushing in the Saints game, I believe.
Yep.
We had 200 yards rushing this week. And so that's taking me back to the tandem of Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman.
Love them.
You know what I'm saying? In their tandem days, our running backs are playing pretty well.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. What I love is what Fleek said he said after the game. I didn't hear that, but that I'm still thinking about that. I just went ahead and I just – what did he say? He just won the game the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, we're about to win this game.
I'm going to tell you something. That's the type of shit I like. I'm all for the high-flying catches and the trick plays, but when it come down to like, man, hey, listen, we got to play bully ball. We got to line up and play and just play football. Like, that's football, because you might have to do that in the snow, in the mud, in a gritty situation. That's real football.
Yes, sir.
I didn't even hear that. I'm smiling ear to ear just at the fact that that's what I want my head coach to talk like.
Yeah, man. You know what, Mike? Oh, I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the only thing that I've – and it's gotten better the last few games. The only thing I want to see from Smith is just to not overthink it. Like, just – and that's the only thing. Like, I mean, like, and it happens a few times per game, you know, and that's better than it was, because a lot of times, I mean, those first few games, we were like, what are we doing? Like, some of these play called zero sense whatsoever. But these last two games, I thought he called a flawless game in Seattle. I thought today was good, minus a few kind of questionable ones. But you could tell, like, he was going with the flow of the game. He understood what was happening. He made the changes when he had to make them. And I mean, that's all you can ask for. In your head coach, but Fleek, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. No, I was just gonna say we do live in a day and age of, like, you know, Kansas City, Buffalo, high flying balls flying all over the place everywhere. Yeah. But I do still believe that games are won and lost in the trenches. And I always said, give me two things: give me a run game and an opportunistic defense. I say that all the time. We won the turnover battle today.
Yep.
And we won the run game. And we won the game for that reason. So it just goes to show, I understand this game is high flying, but sometimes in this NFL, it still comes down to old-fashioned football, 23-20.
I love that he said that, bro. I really do.
Yeah. When you got backs like that can get the job done, I mean, why not? Because, I mean, it's
absolutely, you
just get it done. And, I mean, shout out to Savion, man, on y'all's podcast, the new Millennial Falcon podcast. Y'all got to check that out. He said, I think, it's the last thing I'm going to say about Marcus, but he had a little diatribe that he went on. He said, you know, just imagine what we could do with a better mobile quarterback. Imagine, like, you know, that's one that's not going to, you know, make some of the mistakes or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't.
Carolina,
you can't.
Game just went final.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. 26-16. So, yeah, man, if the Bucks lose tonight, go Chiefs. Then next week's for first base, man. In week five, fighting for first place. That's crazy.
Who knew? But very possible. I told y'all.
Actually,
y'all
you knew. You're the only one that knew.
Mike did say that. And
I got faith in my boys every week.
And you know what's so funny, Mike? Your name comes up in the spaces all the time, because we all know that you are the guy that keeps us on our high horse.
I'm never betting against them, dog. Never.
For sure. So, man, do y'all have any underrated, overrated before we close this thing out?
I do. I got some underrated, overrated. Hold on for a minute. I did write mine. Okay, I got underrated, overrated. I want to say this. Okay, man, underrated. is our current jerseys. These jerseys might be the nastiest jerseys in the league right now. I'm not being funny. I stare at our players sometimes when they make plays. And some people who are fans of other teams have called me and told me that this year, like, man, them Falcon ones y'all got, man, them Jones hard. Like, these might be our nastiest jerseys we have had, and they're definitely the best, the whole uniform in the league. We got the best uniform, so that's underrated. Give us our props. We are best dressed. And I'm going to say overrated is overly tough coaches. Now, I know what I just said about Arthur Smith. I'm talking about on the field. I don't know the name of the Miami Dolphins coach, but he gained a lot of respect for me when Tua got his head hit the other day. He got in a press conference and they asked him, like, well, how did you carry on? Like, what was after that? And I was expecting a coach answer, like, well, we had to do what we had to do, you know. And he was like, nah, it was hard to move on from that. There's no moving on. Like, it's when we see that, it's, man, like, it's hard to concentrate. And like, the rest of the game, it kind of sucked that. Like, it was, he was honest. And I just, you having a heart and being human, saying, no, it was no, I wasn't thinking about football after that. For the rest of the game, I know what I'm supposed to say, but no, I'm not thinking about football at all when my man hit his head and he stopped moving. So I just get some respect for him. I appreciated the honest answer that he was human. And, you know, he seemed really concerned. He seemed like concerned about that man as a human being. And I love to see that. He looked disturbed to even answer the question. Like, it was his son or brother that was in the hospital. So I just appreciate shit like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought that was cool of him too. And then, like, the only thing that I questioned after the fact is when they asked him about, we didn't even talk about it to a situation, but like, I couldn't believe they flew him home that night and didn't keep him overnight. Like,
That's what I said. He had to start talking. He looked like he was really injured, but I said he had to get to that hospital and be talking and fully functional for that. He had to be all right for them to let him go.
That Fences reflex that happened when he had that, when he hit the ground, dude, that's directly related to a concussion. Like, he got concussed again. Two weeks. And what I can say, whatever they want to say, like, that's what your body's reaction is to it. I mean, that's what happens. So like, the fact they let him fly home and he said, he was watching a movie and he was laughing, like, that, so that must mean he's just perfectly okay. Like, if I'm Tua, I ain't trusting a damn thing anybody tells me.
Not in the
Dolphins organization.
What's so weird is I I'm not being funny at all when I say this. Somebody I was talking to in some group chat was talking about how Samoans have, like, strong chins and, like, their recovery and stuff is, like, quick. Like fighters, though. Fighters. And I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. I still don't think he should have even played. But, like, for him to be bouncing back from, like, and not be showing major, major symptoms after something like that is, like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah,
man, but he definitely can't play next week, right?
Come on.
He can't.
No way.
When he's 50, man, he just gonna pull out in the traffic. He might not show the signs now. When he's 50, he gonna pull right out in the traffic. So you can't just say, like I agree with John. You keep him just, I don't care how you sounding, or just keep me overnight.
Dude, and like everybody, like, I think every team has to have a guy that can protect the players from themselves.
Yeah.
Because the guy, I mean, there's not one player in the NFL that's going to say, I'm good. Like, I'm going to chill on this one. Like, there's not many guys that has that self-aware, because they're all competitors. They want to go out, especially starting quarterback. I mean, they want to go out there and for their teammates. So there's got to be that guy, man. That's supposed to be that guy that was they fired, but obviously he jacked up a lot. So anyway, I got one overrated. The New Orleans freaking Saints, man.
That was my overrated as well. So we'll share that.
I love it.
Let's go.
Before the season, man, they're talking so much shit. They're going to win the division. They're going to go 11-5, 12-4. Man, come on. Y'all thought Jameis was going to take you somewhere?
If we ain't let them off the hook, they 0-4 right now, bro.
Tell them.
0-4. Oh, my gosh. That makes it even worse to me now.
Now, all we got to do is go to New Orleans and beat the hell out of them.
Yes, we have to. And you know what's so funny? Shout out to the guys, ATV Saints. Those guys run a smooth show. Great podcast. I went over there week one, and they said that they thought coming into the season that they were going to be pretty good. And they thought that they were going to beat the Falcons like 38-20 in that first game. That's how good they thought they were. Their offense is horrible. They haven't played many quarters of good offensive football, maybe two or three this entire season. Mm-hmm. And I could not be happier about it. So, yeah, 100%. We share that overrated.
I mean, Chris, who we have on, during the season, does our Saints previews with us, huge Saints fan. He totally bought in on Jameis, said I understand, he had a good three or four games before he got hurt last year, looked like a different guy. But I give him the fact he's been hurt this year, obviously with his back, but I still didn't believe that Jameis was going to be the guy all of a sudden. He's like Mariota, you don't expect him to all of a sudden just flip a switch and he's going to be like Pro Bowl. But and then you got the Red Rocket and there as the backup. So, yeah. I take a lot of joy in watching that demise. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, man,
I love seeing the Bucks struggle. I love all the injuries and the fact that they struggling. And I called that one if you remember, but I love it.
I hope they struggle tonight against the Chiefs.
Well, I think the Chiefs
are underrated.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, shoot it.
My underrated is Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Mm. I love that one, Fleet.
Beautiful infrastructure, man. I don't think we get talked about enough league-wide. One of the best stadiums, if not the best stadium in the league to me. It just sits like a big, beautiful metallic origami in the middle of downtown. It's just like the most futuristic thing in the world. And then you have beautiful with the roof open today.
Man, today was perfect, man.
Yeah, today was perfect for that roof.
I mean, 70 degrees. Like, y'all look, the forecast the next 14 days is like high as 70 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah, like, that's why folks move here, man. That's why they keep moving here.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's beautiful, man. But all right, man, we're gonna close the show out, guys. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you all for watching. Again, I'm gonna put this on, of course, our regular podcast, and it'll be posted to YouTube tonight. So you guys can always follow us on Twitter, Out of Your Effing Mind, on Instagram, Out of Your Falcon Mind. We got a Facebook page. You can go like it. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're here, man, like and subscribe. We do a couple of shows per week, preview show, recap show. During the off season, we're going to break down some college players for the draft going into the combine. We do all that stuff. So it's going to be we're pretty much year round, man. That's pretty much what we actually got a ton of views and listens during the off season. So, I mean,
how crazy is that?
I didn't know that we were going to, I didn't know if we were going to keep doing it, but look, Mike, we are I think we are 2 weeks away from our 1 year anniversary, so we'll have to do something special for that.
Okay,
nice. Almost a year.
And if you're listening, man, if you want to like our stuff and subscribe, we don't want any sane people. You got to be out of your Falcon mind. If you sane, if you make logical, sensible arguments, don't come over here with that shit. You be out of your Falcon mind, and we love y'all, man. Thank you so much.
That's right, man. Fleek, man, thanks so much on short notice, man.
Always, Fleek. Thank you for coming, man.
Hey, listen, I've been rocking with y'all for so long, man. Hey, anytime Mike hit me up, as soon as I was walking out of the stadium, Mike said, "You want to do post game?" I said, "Yes, sir." Anytime y'all need me, I'm here. I appreciate y'all always, showing me love and of course, allowing me to talk on y'all platform about these dirty birds.
Man, we absolutely love having you, dog.
Open invitation, man. Open invitation. Yeah. And so y'all check out Fleek and Hunter and Savion and Trayshawn.
Oh, yeah. So follow us at NM Falcons ATB. So that stands for New Millennium Falcons ATB. But that's the new page. We got the new pictures, the new branding and everything. So make sure you check us out.
Absolutely. Go. Yeah, it's a fantastic podcast. Y'all do not want to miss that one. And we will be back. Mike and I will be back probably on Wednesday or Thursday night for the preview show for the Bucks, and we'll have a whole lot more to talk about. Then we'll talk about some of the press conferences that the coaches and players are going to go through about this game, and bring up some other stuff that we didn't get to on this, talk about some college and whatnot that happened over the weekend, and going into the next Saturday as well. Mike, we do have a baseball tournament next Sunday, so I may not see the Tampa game as live, but just like before, we'll have to just play around with that one, see how it goes. But
we'll make it work.
We'll make it work. We always do. So, guys, we are out.
Go Braves. Sorry. Had to say
Go Braves. That's right. We got to get off and go watch the Braves sweep the mess tonight.
Yes, sir.
What, dude, if that happens, man, my gosh, what kind of weekend have we had? Like, seriously.
That's what I'm saying.
The entire state of Georgia.
I mean, what kind of weekend? I can't even, and us being Alabama fans, getting that win too, and seeing, we didn't even talk about Bryce. We'll talk about that on our own. But
we got to, hey, man, I got to come on here again soon, man.
Yeah, we need a whole other podcast on that. Yeah, but seriously. Anyway, thank you guys for listening as always, man. We appreciate the hell out of every single one of y'all takes time to watch and listen. Y'all keep supporting us. We'll keep doing everything that we can to make a good show for you guys and entertain the hell out of you, as Mike will certainly do every week. Without
you know, we going, man, hey, listen, the Braves going to win tonight. Y'all got amazing weather in Georgia right now. The Falcons won two in a row, and you got the Out of Your Falcon Mind podcast. What more does your greedy ass need in life? If you can't be happy with that, you are being greedy, buddy, okay? I love you guys. Thank you. Out of Your Falcon Mind with my man, Fleek. Peace.
We out.
I love it. I love